This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike McCammon, the Medicine Man. We're going to be talking about how to read an eye today. I know we've talked about it before, but I've got another slant on it, and we'll talk about the science and art of iridology. It's absolutely fascinating. Do you know, with one look in the eye, you can tell if someone's got a gallbladder problem or not, plus a whole lot of other things. So if you're interested, tune in after this little song by Sally Oldfield. So, hello, welcome back to The Medicine Man. This is Mike McCammon. We're on Plains FM. And I'm going to talk about something that I believe not enough people actually know about this. It's called iridology. It's about how to read the body through the eye. And if you Google it, you'll get some good information, but I suggest it might be good if you Google my website and get the real information about it, because iridology is quite controversial. But it's been going for many, many thousands of years, and it was rediscovered around about 1850. by this guy, this Hungarian chap called Ignaz von der Pixley, who he caught a wild owl in his back garden when he was a boy. And the owl struggled, and as the owl struggled, the owl's leg broke. And what he noticed simultaneously is a little mark appeared in the owl's iris. And he remembered that as he became a young man, and he got involved in medicine, became a medical doctor, but he spent his whole career studying the eyes of his patients. And he discovered that if people had tuberculosis, for example, that was quite rife in Europe at that time, they all had a particular sign in the eye. And he noticed that, each particular illness that came in had a particular look in the eye, or a particular, what he called lesions or lacuna in the eyes. And he drew a map of the eyes, and he was very, very popular, had a fantastic practice, and I've still got somewhere the original map he drew. So since that time, iridology was rediscovered. I say rediscovered because the ancient Babylonians practiced it, so did the ancient Egyptians, and also the Chinese. There's a Chinese map of the iris. It's over 1,000 years old. So it's not necessarily a new science, but it's one that's I wouldn't say is widely known to this day. So I've made my own map and simplified it. So if you really want to have a look at the visuals, because this is quite a talk about something that's nice if you actually see it happening, so you can go to my website on www.nzherbal.com and just go to the section on iridology. But what you can do if you're there now with somebody else is have a look at their eyes. If you've got a little torch handy, that could be even more useful. And the first thing you notice when you look in someone's eyes is the color. We have blue eyes, we have brown eyes, we have genetically mixed eyes, we have green eyes, we've got hazel eyes, we've got all sorts of different eye shades. And of course, these shades also change a little depending on the light that you're in. But blue eyes tend to come from Europe, and they tend to have sort of Nordic or Viking stock. And if you see a blue eye with lots of white in the eye, now the iris, remember, is the colored portion of the eye. It's called iris because iris was the, I think, the Greek god of the rainbow. And this particular goddess, would bring the knowledge of the gods to Earth, which is really interesting that we call the iris, you know, after this Greek goddess. So anyway, when you look at a blue eye and if there's a lot of white in it, that generally means that the person's not very good with dairy products, and they tend to have inflammatory conditions like hay fever. And as they get older, they tend to get sore joints because white in an iris is basically a buildup of acid crystals, and they can lock and settle in areas of genetic weakness. And with blue-eyed people, it's often in the joints. So rheumatics is quite common with blue-eyed people if they've got that white haze. So if you've got a little torch and you shine it directly into someone's eye, what should happen is the pupil will pull in quite tight, and then it will adjust to a sort of a medium round, about a quarter of the size of the whole iris. And that's a normal pupil tone. So it will adjust to light, it'll close out some of the light and take just enough light in, and that's normal. But if you have someone who's extremely tired or on certain drugs, when you shine the light into the iris, the pupil will not pull in, or pull in a little bit, but it will be unable to pull in tight. And people that have what we call adrenal fatigue have this what we call hypotonic pupil. So these are some very simple things to look at in the iris. And if you're really tired, maybe you want to go into the mirror and shine a light in your eye and have a look at your pupil. So if the pupil pulls in tight and then adjusts and gets to about a quarter of the whole size of the iris itself, it's about normal, but it should actually maintain a particular medium size like that. But sometimes you'll find that the pupil, while you're shining the light in there, will go in and out. It'll sort of pulse out. It'll get big and small and big and small. This generally indicates that your nervous system is somewhat irritated. You're probably drinking too much coffee, or you're not getting enough sleep, and your endocrine system, in other words, your adrenaline, your thyroid hormones and so forth, those endocrine glands, those chemicals, are trying to actually adjust to stress. So if your iris is going up and down, in and out, and won't stabilize, that could give an indication that you might need some more B vitamins, for example, or nerve herbs, or you just might not need to get a lot more sleep. So these are simple little things that you can tell from iris. And when you're looking at a brown eye, it's harder. So you need to get your light from the side of the eye, and you can have a look in there. So there's so many things. What sort of things can you tell from iridology? Well, the first and foremost thing is, what I love about it is you don't need a whole lot. As a naturopath, I don't need to do lots and lots of lab tests and take blood and all the rest of it, which is all very useful. But iridology, within seconds, I'll be able to tell the health of just about every, if not all, major organs. I'll be able to tell you genetic strengths and weaknesses to begin with. And so genetics does sharpen the iris. And why does it do that? Because the iris, if you trace the optic nerve back, it sits on top of the brainstem there, and it's recording everything that you see. It's recording it inside your nervous system, and everything that's happening in your body is being recorded outward. So it's fascinating. You can see where a person has come from genetically. You can get some idea, because there's a timeline in there too. You can tell the kind of trauma. You can even pinpoint what year that trauma was. And you can also see the likely outcomes if they continue the way they're doing. So this is the wonderful thing about iridology. So let's start with the genetic strengths or weaknesses. If you look in your iris in a mirror now, and if the fibers in your eyes, because it's made up of little fibers, which is actually brain tissue, right? If you look at that, and if those fibers are very nicely, tightly wove together, it generally indicates you've got a strong genetic heritage. And we call that a silk iris, because you're very hard to break silk. Sometimes I like to call it a kauri tree or an oak tree type of constitution. And these are the people that are natural born athletes. They're great leaders. They seldom get tired. They're on the go all the time. And it's just a lucky constitution that these people have been born with this very strong oak or silk type of constitution. But then we have the next constitution genetically, and we call that a linen constitution, and the fibers of the eyes are just a little bit sparse, and so they can break. You can break linen, but you've got to try pretty hard to do it. And then so you have the linen type. Of course, you've got a combination of silk and linen. And then you've got a Hessian eye, which is a greater weave. And those people tend to need a lot more sleep. They tend to be more susceptible to colds and flus. They generally take longer to get better. Now, they can still live a good life, but with a poorer constitution, you need to be more careful about how you look after yourself. You see, you've got to be, there's food allergies going on, or food intolerances. You need to get lots of sleep. You know, you just need to be sort of treat yourself a lot better. So if you find that, if you don't understand why someone you know is sick all the time, and yet, they're doing all the right things as far as you know, but it's just a question of genetics. You know, you could call it the luck of the draw, and you could say it's not fair, but when you understand your constitution, and remember there's actually seven different constitutions, so I'm making this very, very brief and simple, but when you actually know your constitution, you then know the types of foods you can eat, you know the types of illnesses that you're susceptible to, and knowledge is power, that's teach a man to fish, and that's one of the most important things about being able to read an eye, is you can know immediately your genetic strengths and weaknesses. So it's always good to see someone who actually knows what they're doing. They've been trained in iridology and they've had a lot of experience. Unfortunately, it's very rare now to find iridologists in the country. I'm not sure how many there are, but there's certainly less than 100, I think, now, maybe less than 50. The other thing that we'll see in the iris is levels of inflammation. Now, the first sign of any illness is generally pain, right? A discomfort, and it may be subtle, like, oh, something's wrong, I'm a bit tight in the shoulder, it might be my right shoulder. Let's just say I've got a pain in my right shoulder. And in this particular circumstances, there's actually a problem with the gallbladder. But they don't know it. You don't know it's a problem with your gallbladder, but you're just getting some pain in that little part between your right shoulder blade, and you might have a little bit of pain just under your right rib, your lower rib down there, that floating rib. And you don't really know what it is, but every now and again, it just tugs at you you and you think, what the heck is it going to be? So let's just say this is the gallbladder. Well, you can go for all sorts of tests, but it may not actually pick a gallbladder problem. Oftentimes you'll come out with there's nothing wrong with you and you're just making it all up. But with iridology, one look in the iris will say whether the gallbladder is one of four conditions or five conditions. First of all, is it normal? It will be easily seen if you've got the healthy gallbladder. But if it's inflamed, what happens is the fibers over that particular section of the iris will go white. And so we'll call that acute inflammation. And inflammation is behind so many chronic illnesses. Inflammation is the driving force behind anything with an itis, including cancer, though. So arthritis, right, for example, means inflammation of a joint, right? So inflammation, iridology will say, what is inflamed? If it's inflammation, is it acute? Okay, acute inflammation. Is it subacute? Is it chronic? Is it degenerative? And that's a beautiful thing to know, because each one of those particular levels of inflammation, we can act on it with foods and natural substances to avoid it becoming a disease. So the other thing that we can see from looking in the eye is whether you've got any structural dysfunction, because a pupil should be perfectly round. Now, where it flattens will give us an idea of what the spine is doing. So if it's flattening at the top, then we've got some cranial bone pressures. That's pressure in the head. So if you've got headaches, an iridologist can figure out whether this headache is coming from the gallbladder, right, because we'll see an inflammation there, or is it coming from the cranial bones or the TMJ, which is a joint where the jaw meets the skull, right, the temporomandibular joint, or whether it's coming from a pituitary gland, which is a gland in the head, or whether it's coming from the neck being out of place, or whether it's coming from muscular tension. All that can be seen, again, by one single look in an iris and a person's eye from a skilled practitioner. Now, that's pretty amazing, because it means that if, for example, it's a structural issue, then you can prescribe osteopathy or cranial sacral therapy and send the person to the right person to fix that problem. If it happens to be an endocrine gland problem, then you might want to send them to an endocrinologist, or you may, may want some herbal treatments that reduce it. So that's one of the wonderful advantages. Again, it can actually tell whether your spine is in place or not without having to have x-rays. So it will tell you, as I say, endocrine dysfunctions. It will tell you all sorts of things, like it'll say what vitamins you're deficient in, what minerals you're deficient in. It'll also be able to tell whether you've got parasitic organisms. It also gives a prognosis of how you're going to heal if we do this. We can get a good example of folks, for example, with a strong constitution. Generally, whatever you give them, they're going to get better. And if it's a weak constitution, well, it might take 3 months, or it might even take a year and a half to get better, because the constitution is poor and they absorb minerals slower. And remember, as I've said before, when you have mineral deficiencies, no vitamins will work correctly without those four mineral deficiencies. But iridology will tell you which minerals that you need, and that is a stunning sort of advantage, you could say. So it'll say also the level of toxicity, whether you're constipated, whether you've got liver problems. It'll say the level of uric acid, carbolic acid, butyric acid, lactic acid. It'll tell you the level of acidity and give a good indication of the pH, because every organ has a specific pH. The blood has a specific pH. The gallbladder has a specific pH. The saliva has a specific pH, and so forth. And without all the medical tests, one glance in the iris can tell us a really good indication of what's going on there too. But what iridology can't do is it cannot tell diseases as such, because it's not really, the name of a disease is really kind of an arbitrary thing that someone sort of invented. I'm not saying it's not real, but iridology will tell the levels of inflammation and the organ dysfunction and what happens according to the way we eat, drink, think, and live, right? So it's kind of a process rather than diagnosing. It can't show operations either, because what happens is it'll show the condition of the organ, for example, the appendix. If a person had his appendix out 20 years ago, and the iris will say, oh, you've got an inflammation appendix, that's because it's like a freeze frame. It's just frozen in time, because once it's chopped out, the iris no longer records it, but it will say the state of that organ just before it was removed, okay? So that's an important thing to know, your limitations when you go to an iridologist. And the other thing, it can't really predict the future, but it can give you some likelihoods that could happen if you continue the way you're going. And it cannot pick some cancers. Some cancers won't show in the iris because they're basically a different sort of cancer. But there are some cancers that do show up, or the propensity to have cancer often shows up with a skilled practitioner. You can say, oh, yes, there's a little bit of a danger here. For example, in the bowel, you've got these diverticuli or bowel pockets, and they're inflamed. And we know that just statistically, if you have diverticulitis, which are little pouches in the bowel that become inflamed, and that is a precursor to bowel cancer if you don't watch it. So that's the other thing that I love about iridology is we'll be able to tell the health of your whole digestive system, including the bowel, without any invasive tests. You don't have to have a colonoscopy, etc., for an iridologist to tell you exactly what's going on in your bowel to a remarkably accurate degree. The other thing about the iridology is by looking at the whole iris, we're seeing everything that happens in the body all at the same time. So we could see the relationships of, for example, the gallbladder to headaches. We can see the relationship of the thyroid to menstrual problems. And we can actually know which gland is the main one that we need to work on. So iridology is, to me, the most inexpensive way of determining the levels of inflammation. So iridology is a science, right? And it involves the use of the iris and the white of the eye to actually analyze and monitor tissue changes that are occurring or have occurred in your body. The iris reveals body constitution, your inherent weaknesses, inflammations, level of health, and transitions that take place due to your lifestyle and genetic heritage. And that is pretty amazing. So if you're interested in iridology, I would suggest you go to my website and learn properly about what it involves. It's not particularly popular in the mainstream because we can see the effects of drug surgery and chemotherapy, and they don't always stand up to being a rational way of dealing with imbalances in the body. So iridology will show drug deposits, for example. It can actually give you a clue whether the person is chemically poisoned. It can give all sorts of ideas about what's going on there. And the idea is to put a rational thing in place that fits with that the best scientist on the planet, which of course is nature. Nature knows best. So really to conclude, iridology, which is looking into a person's eye, for a well-trained practitioner, and along with a proper case history, right, physical examination if necessary, and sometimes, but only sometimes, backed up by laboratory analysis, so if you've got blood tests and things we can support it, can help, is an incredibly valuable tool for both practitioner and patient, okay? And for the doctor, or for the practitioner, should I say, the health practitioner, because I'm not a doctor, I make myself very clear about that, but it gives an immediate indication of the ground, right, the actual base and treatment protocols, and it gives for the patient an understanding of the situation and why it's happened and how long the treatment may take. So it's my opinion that the science of iridology is a most powerful and cost-effective diagnostic, or rather analytical, tool in natural healing. And I would think that everybody should have an iridology reading at least once in their life to get a handle on their uniqueness, the unique constitution, levels of inflammation, and so you can have basically a user manual so you know how unique you are and what you can do to avoid getting sick in the future and even to heal up things that may well be happening right now. So that's a little bit about iridology. Remember, pop into my website, www.nzherbal.com, and have a look at the section on iridology. And if you're excited, well, you can always do something about it and see someone that knows what they're doing. And of course, with me, I use herbal medicines and natural foods. And that's the way I love to work. So this is not to say that other methods don't have their validity. It's just this is the method that I love because it does follow that first premise of healing that that anyone that works in health, we say to ourselves and we believe it and we do it. And it's called first do no harm. So we don't want to do things that are actually going to poison the body. And natural therapy works with nature, along with nature, and doesn't oppose it. We don't make illnesses a enemy. We look and we try to understand that every illness begins with a message, and that message is often pain or discomfort, and it's actually a message, it's a cry for help. And by understanding that, we use the iris to actually see what we can do about it. Okay, so thanks for listening, and we'll finish off with a lovely song by one of my favorite musicians and singers, is Sally Oldfield. Catch up next week. Yeah.